Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I got good news for you today. Who wants to hear some good news? All right, let's hear some good news. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive. And the Word of God is active. And the Word of God is alive in you, and it is active in you. And today we come into this house and we gather in His name and we sit under the Word of God, which is alive and active. And some awesome things can happen to us. Because it's sharper, it penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit. And it judges our thoughts and our attitudes. So we're going to open our hearts today and we're going to say, God, do your stuff in me. Do whatever you need to do in me. I'm just bringing myself here under the Word, and the Word of God is alive. And I'm going to let it do its work. So open your heart right now and let the Word work in you. What does God want to work in you this morning? I don't want to be the same. When we leave here at 12 noon, approximately, I know, unless I get really carried away. When we leave here, I don't want to leave here the way I came into you. I want something to have happened inside of me. I want my spirit man to be bigger, stronger. I want my soul man to be smaller, less and be more him. So I want to speak to you today out of Acts 3. So Acts, written by Dr. Luke, Jesus has been crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. He's resurrected. But he's left this church kind of wondering. It's kind of uncertain days. It's kind of like transition. They were going to the temple, and then there's this new Jesus thing happening, and a little bit like us, this church, we're in transition. New days, new things, new people, new faces. Church is in transition. So I want to start in Acts 3. Peter and John. They went to the temple. Well, these are followers of Christ, and they're still going to the temple. But stick with them, because there's a transition period. They're used to going to the temple. People went to the temple at 9 and 3 and then the evening. Wouldn't that be fun if we could just say, well, it's 9 o'clock, go to the temple. Oh, it's 3 o'clock, excuse me, boss, I got to go pray. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could just do that, checking out for prayer time? Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. It's what they were used to. It's what they did. But they're almost, it's not quite enemy territory, but it's new territory, it's different territory. Because they're different. Jesus has happened. As they approached the temple, a man, lame from birth. I just want to reiterate there that if you're lame from birth, you've never walked, right? So if you're lame from birth, you've been carried everywhere you go. Think about that. Everywhere you go, someone has carried you because you cannot walk. This man, lame from birth, he was being carried. He was carried everywhere he went. Didn't matter where he went. From the time he was a baby, he got carried everywhere he went. Each day, he was put. He got carried and he got put somewhere. He got put beside the temple gate. Does that not annoy you? That annoys me. What are you doing putting him beside the temple gate? Bring the guy into the temple. He needs to be in the temple. You're leaving him outside? You're just going to put him down there outside? He didn't have much say in it. He was going to stay wherever they put him. And each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate. There he is at this beautiful gate. This man, lame from birth, gets put there. And he got put there so that he could beg from the people who were going into the temple. So people came to the temple. He was placed there strategically just before 3 o'clock so that when people came into the temple, he could beg. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. That's what this lame man, lame from birth, thought that he needed. He thought, I need money. Well, of course he needs money to live, but here they are. He's put at the temple and he's asking for money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, look at us. Now, I can't guarantee this, but I'm pretty sure he did this. Right? I made that up. I just made that up. Peter and John looked at him intently. Peter said, look at us. And the lame man looked at him eagerly. Because he had, look at us. And he thinks, great, I'm going to get some money from this guy. So he kind of, I think his face lit up a little bit. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. But I'll give you what I have. And I just want to think about that. I just want our hearts to say, what do you have to give? What's in you to give? I'll give you what I have. If you said that to somebody, what is it in you that you have to give? We already know the answer, but I'm not going to say it. Jesus. Right? We could do the big Jesus. We do that every once in a while. I'll give you what I have. Then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, he says, get up and walk. He says, get up and walk to a lame guy who has never walked one day in his life. He says, get up and walk. That is a shocking thing. Does that not shock you? That shocks me. Do you know how much faith? Do you know how much faith that takes? Come on, you guys try and pray for somebody sometime like that. And they've been laying there their whole life. And I'm going to say, you get up and you walk to somebody who has never, never walked before. Peter said, I'm going to give you what I have. I have a power in me that says you're going to walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and he helped him up. I can't. Come on, these aren't just words. Churches. This isn't just words. This is what happened. And we need to understand what happened. We need to get it in our head that Peter just took this guy's hand and he helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and he began to walk. Not just words. That is what happened. The man who had never walked before jumped up and he started to walk. That is power. That is power. That is power that is alive, and that power is in us. And then walking, not only was he walking, he was leaping. He was leaping, he was jumping up and down, and he was praising God. And this makes me so happy, and I hope it makes you happy too, folks. He went into the temple. He got to go into the temple like a real person. He didn't just get left outside to be lame and to be begging. He walked into the temple where he belonged. I don't want to leave people sitting outside the church. I want them inside the church. Inside the church, hearing the word of God, getting healed, getting delivered, getting filled, hearing the worship. We don't want to leave anybody outside. I don't care how lame they are. We're going to carry them into the temple. All Lord's people said, amen, that's the right answer. We're going to bring them into the temple. All the people saw him walking. Now, this is God's agenda. There might have been a different agenda. So Peter and John might have thought, well, we're going to go to church, we're going to pray. God had an agenda that day. And so now all of a sudden, all these people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. God has intervened. Something has shifted. This beggar is now there watching him leap. Could you even believe your eyes? Come on, what if that actually happened? Would you even believe your eyes? This was happening, and suddenly somebody who you'd never seen walk was all of a sudden jumping up and down, and they're running around, and they're leaping, and they're praising God. That's going to get your attention. They were absolutely astounded. They all rushed in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Oh, man, you want a bear hug? You want a bear hug? This guy is like throwing his arms around these disciples, and he's hugging and jumping. And what a moment. There is evidence. There is proof. This is, oh, God, you are so mighty. Peter saw. This is a preacher. This is a preacher right here. Whenever there's a crowd, right? There's a crowd of people standing around, and preachers think, I got a great idea. I got to say something about Jesus right now. And so Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd, and he said, people of Israel, what is so surprising about this? I want to say, my answer is like everything. Everything is like surprising about this, like over the top, insane, wonderful, amazing. And why stare at us as though we made this man walk by our own power, God? Don't be looking at me. Don't be looking at me. For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now he's talking their language. Oh, it's that God, Abraham. The God of all of our ancestors who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. So that's a bit of an arresting thing. This servant Jesus thing. This is the same Jesus. This takes a lot of boldness right now. That you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. He is now explaining to them what they have done. You killed the author of life. You killed the author of life. And then there's this wonderful word. But. How many times have we said, but God, right? We say that a lot. Oh, wow, I'm really going through it, and I don't understand it, and my heart is breaking, and there's this heavy thing on me, but Jesus, right? Those are powerful words, but God. So here Peter says, you guys did this awful thing. You guys are messed up. You killed the author of life, but God. Do you know how big God is? God is bigger than he can get over you killing the author of life. That's big. You killed him. You were wrong to do it, but God. But God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses. We saw that. We know it. We've seen it. We declare it. We are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus. I just want to pause right there now. So can we just, this, you know, the lame guy, let's go back to the lame guy. Lame guy is laying outside the temple and he's begging. And I want to ask you, did he have any faith to be healed? Was he going, oh, I got to get healed today. Got to get healed today. Oh, God, I want you to heal me today. God, you know, please, God, I need a healing, healing, healing. He was laying there lame, looking for money. That's what he was looking for. It was not his faith that healed him. Oh, I got to get enough faith so that I can be healed. I just look at the lame man. There was no faith in him. None. He wasn't looking for healing. He didn't ask for healing. He asked for money. Through faith in what? In the name of Jesus. The lame beggar didn't even know who Jesus was. Might have heard a rumor. This man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name healed him before your very eyes. Not his faith. Wasn't his faith. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. I realize you guys didn't get it. You guys, how gracious is that? Wow, you killed my Jesus. I realize you guys didn't know what you were doing. You did it in ignorance. But God, come on. You did it in ignorance. But God was fulfilling all what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. This was in the plan. This is not a shock. It was in the plan. He says, now that we've got this all straightened out, now that you understand, now that you see, now that you get this, now
Repent of your sins and turn to God. This is your opportunity, he said. Now that you understand, now that it's really clear, this is what you're going to do. Repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. That's what we've done. That's what we've done in this place. Maybe there was a time of ignorance in our life, and then we started to understand, and our ignorance was revealed, and we repented of our sins, and we turned to God. And he said, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshment after refreshment after refreshment will come from the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus. He's going to send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. He's coming back. He's coming back again. That's good news. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Jesus, from among your own people. And he says, listen carefully to everything that he tells you. You know how many times I say, I just want to hear you and do what you say. How about that's your prayer? God, I just want to hear your voice, and I just want to do what you say. Do you know how uncomplicated your life will be? Oh, I wonder if I should do this and I should do that. You know what? Ask God, listen to what he says, and do it. Do you know that you don't have to be all stressed out and anxious? He just says right here, just listen carefully to everything he tells you. And then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Starting with Samuel, and we think of Elijah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, we think of all those prophets. Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. All those words that you read, all those words that you know from the prophets, it's all happening today, he says. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. Has your family been blessed? My family has. Your family will be. By all the words of these ancient prophets, it's true. The word of God is true. It's alive. And it is going to work in us. And it is going to continue to work in us until we take our last breath. And when God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. What a God. Well, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest and the captain of the temple guard and some of the Sadducees. And I just want to say right here, the party poopers came. The party poopers showed up to the party. Can I say that from the pulpit? I probably shouldn't. There should be another word that I should use instead of that one. Dear Jesus, forgive me for that last remark that I made. So the people who spoiled the party showed up. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there's the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. So we think about, so what was their crime? That these men would be arrested and put in jail. Let's see. They healed a lame man. A man who was lame from birth. They healed him, and so they were arrested. But many of the people who heard the message believed it. So the number of believers now totaled 5,000 men, not counting women and children. 5,000 people came into the kingdom of God that day because they saw what happened. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. All these really big potato people, these really important people. And they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Isn't that a good question? How'd you guys do this? Where did you guys get this kind of power to do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Ah, Peter. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Why are we here? What are you doing? What is this about? Do you want to know how he was healed? Well, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was healed by a name. He got healed by a name. We know there's power in the name. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected, the chief stone, come on, the cornerstone, the cornerstone, that's the stone that everything is built on. You know what this church is built on? Jesus. He's the cornerstone. It's not built on me, it's not built on Barry, not built on, it's built on Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone, that's it. That's why this church is going to stand, because it's built on Jesus. He is the cornerstone. So Peter's quoting to them the scriptures out of the Psalms, and he says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. Man, he is preaching it. He's preaching it to a tough crowd. That's a tough crowd. God has given no other name under heaven. There isn't. Boy, people don't like that. There's only one way to get to heaven. His name is Jesus. Do you want to be unpopular at work? Drop that one in the coffee time. Right? Just one way to get to heaven. It's not by being good. It's not by being nice. Not by being kind. That's also, it's so good to be good. It's so good to be kind. That's not going to get you there. Jesus is going to get you there. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness. That is bold. I'm telling you, when you're standing in front of the enemy camp and you're saying, I got news for you guys. There's only one way for you to get to heaven. And you got the wrong answer. His name is Jesus. That takes boldness to do. Amazed at the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were, I love this part. This part is you. This part is me. I'm sorry, Foursquare. Sometimes I can just be a bit much. Just go with it. My church is going, oh, geez, here we go. So they were ordinary. They were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Doesn't that make you breathe? That makes me breathe. I think Barry said something like that last week. You made reference, like, just ordinary people. You know what you are? You know what I am? We are ordinary people. And we can even say, with no special training in the scripture. And God can use us. God can use a fisherman named Peter and John. And they didn't have any extraordinary degrees behind their names. And yet they're standing in front of the most important people of the land and they're speaking the truth about Jesus Christ. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You know what I want? I want when I walk into the grocery store that somebody is going to say, wow, I recognize her. It feels like she might have been with Jesus. Don't you want that? Don't you want that all over you? I want that all over me. I want that like crazy all over me. We want the fragrance of him so strong on us that when we walk into the school meeting, when there's something coming up that you got to say, there is a fragrance on you that fills the place. Fills the place. Because you've been with Jesus. Because you've spent some time with him. Because he knows your name and you've talked to him. And you've laid it down with him. And there's a fragrance that comes on you. There's a sweetness that comes on you that is on you. And people say there's something different going on here. Oh, They said they could recognize them as men who'd been with Jesus. We want to be recognized as people who've been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed, so they're in a bit of a quandary. Because here's these men, unschooled, ordinary people, who don't have any of the right qualifications, and they're being really bold. And we don't really believe them, but there's this guy who's never walked before. He's standing on his feet. In fact, they saw him leaping and jumping. Something's going on. But they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, and there was nothing. I'll tell you what, when you're walking with Jesus and when you're doing what Jesus wants, nobody can say anything. You shut the mouth of the enemy because there is an authority and a power on you that shuts the mouth of the enemy. They could not say anything. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber, and they sent them out. And so now they're saying, what are we going to do? What do you think we should do? This is a bit of a mess. What should we do with these men, they asked each other. Well, we can't deny that they performed a miraculous sign. I mean, everybody saw that. And everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. We don't know what else to do, but what we do know is we have to shut down that name of Jesus. Do you know what the society that we live in right now is trying to do? Do you know what it's trying to do? It is trying to shut down the name of Jesus. They're okay with some other names. You know what name they're not okay with? They are not okay with the name of Jesus. You know why? Because they know it has power. They're okay with a lot of different stuff. So the same thing is happening. They're trying. Do not let this world stop you from speaking the name of Jesus. It's going to try. It already is trying. We're not going to let it. So they called the apostles back in. Okay, come on. And they commanded, can you believe this? I want to say the nerve of these people. It's outrageous. So they call them back in and they say, so they called the apostles back in and they commanded them this, never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. So there's Peter and John standing. There's Peter and John standing there, and they're telling them, you are not allowed. You are no longer allowed to speak the name of Jesus. And Peter says something like, oh yeah, watch this. That's my interpretation of this. It's, oh yeah, watch this. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we've seen and heard. We can't deny our God. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. When that man stands up, you have nothing left to say. It has been said. It has been said. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers, and they told them what the leading priests and elders had said. You're not going to believe what they said. They said that we're not supposed to speak in the name of Jesus. That's a good one. And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant. And they quote Psalm 2, and they say, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? I'm telling you, those men had futile plans. Those plans were not going to go anywhere. The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. That's what's going on right now. Psalm 2 is coming true. Right now, they said. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. A whole bunch was all against Jesus. But, isn't that a great word? But, everything was against them. But, everything they did was determined beforehand according to your word. But God was still in charge. God was still running the show. And now, oh Lord, hear their threats. This is what we want to hear today, church. Oh Lord, hear the threats of this world around us. God, hear the threats. And now, O Lord, give us, I'm talking to you, church. I'm talking to me. Give us your servants. Are we the servants of the living God in this place today? We are. We are his servants. We are his willing servants. There is no one else who we will ever serve. We are his willing servants. He is speaking this word to us today, his willing servants. Give us your servants, please, Jesus, great boldness, great boldness. God, pour out your boldness on us. Let us be bold in you. Let us be bold in you. Stretch out your hand. Oh. Stretch out your hand with healing power. Do we not want people to be healed in Jesus' name? We believe in healing. I believe in healing. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs. Do we want to see miraculous signs and wonders done in this church? Do we want to see miraculous signs and wonders done in the parking lot? Do we want to see miraculous signs and wonders at the Z train station? Do we want to see miraculous signs and wonders wherever we go, wherever we walk, whatever we do? Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. We are his servants. Oh God, use us. These are not ancient words to just be closed up in a Bible, to gather dust on a coffee table. These are his words to this church today. God, that we would do this, that we would be bold. I'm talking, it's scary, I don't even want to say it out loud. To be bold enough to see a lame person who's left outside the temple and to look at that person in the eyes and say, get up and walk. Get up and walk. He is able. Not by the faith of the person laying on the ground, but by the faith of the one who lives in you. In the power of that mighty name that we carry around. We carry it around. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, you can see the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness, and you know what? They changed the world. They changed the world. We're here, servants of the Most High God. I feel inadequate. Anybody else here feel inadequate? Anybody else on here feel unworthy? I do. I do. I don't feel able. I don't feel like I can do any of this. But he can. He can. Because you know what? It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about me just being a vessel. It's about you just being a vessel. I'm just a vessel. But you know what? We want to be available vessels. Make yourself available. I'm going to trust him. And if he ever says, if he ever says to me, you tell that lame man to walk, I pray to God. I'm scaring myself right now. Is anybody else getting scared in this place? I'm scaring myself because I know what God does. I know what God does. You know, some years back, I made a terrible mistake. Oh, I'd finished my social work, and I said to God, oh, I was so holy. Oh, God, I had this vision. I was going to have an office downtown. I was going to have a brass plaque on it. It was a counselor. And I said, oh, I had the vision. I said, God, I'll talk to anybody whom you ask me to talk to. Well, aren't I something? Man, I am really something. And the next day, this is a true story. Next day, my phone rang, and it was a woman in our congregation, and she was a bit of a wild child. She said, Pastor, I need you to go down to the remand center because my nephew just killed his girlfriend, and I need you to go down there and talk. talk to him. And I remembered that I'd said to God the day before, I will go anywhere. I know, right? I will talk. Yeah. So I ended up in the remand center in the waiting room to talk to this guy who had murdered his girlfriend. And in the room was a bunch of people who didn't look like me at all. So I know what it is to say. Do you know, this young man had accepted Satan. You know how we accept Jesus? This young man had prayed and accepted Satan into his heart. There was actually a prayer that you can pray. And he ended up taking the life of his girlfriend. And I am now sitting in the booth. I'd never seen, I had to wait till all the other girls with really high boots and stuff like that went and talked, picked up the phone. And then there was one guy left. And he was huge. And so I kind of, so I sat down, picked up the phone, and we had a conversation. He needed to tell somebody this awful thing, and it was me that he told. And that started prison ministry for me. I went in for 25 years. He got more than 25 years. He did 25 years, and I visited him with charism in prison at least once a month until he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. True story. I pray someday he'll come here. He got recently released, and he's living in a halfway house. He's doing so well. Jesus. So when we say we'll make ourselves available, let's really make ourselves available. I'll go anywhere. If you tell me to go to Tibet, I'm good. I'm going to have the worship team come up. They're going to close off in a song. I just want to say to you, we're not going to let the world dictate to us whose name we're going to say. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. We're going to make ourselves available to God. We're not going to wait for the world to say amen. The world's never going to say amen. Don't wait for the amen. It's not going to come from the world. We're going to pray for people to be healed. Are we going to pray in this church for people to be healed? Are we going to pray for miraculous signs? It's so scary to pray those prayers. Because someday you might have to say to somebody who's lame, stand up and walk. But it doesn't matter because it's not about us. It's all about him. And we're going to preach the word with boldness. We're going to preach the word with boldness in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Let's be inspired this morning to be fearless and bold. Every Sunday, church, we want to give everyone an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. We have worshiped him in song, and we have heard the word of God. And it is good for us to close our time together with a prayer to invite the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, into our lives so that he might fill us full of his love, his life, and his light, that we might make a difference in a world that is often dark and unyielding to the ways of God. You may have invited Jesus into your life many years ago, or maybe you are brand new to the faith and have never had an opportunity to pray and ask him to come and live in your heart. No matter what the circumstance, it is always good for us to dedicate for the first time or rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Whatever the case may be, let's stand together. And I would like for all of you, whether it's your first time, whether it's multiple times, let's just stand together and pray after me these words of confession, these words of surrender, of love, and of hope. Dear Lord Jesus, say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior, and I know His name is Jesus. I believe He died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. So I ask you now, forgive me for all of my sins, my past sins, my present sins, my future sins. Forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me your wisdom and direction. And lead me in the way everlasting. I love you, Jesus. I willingly surrender my life to you now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.